Previously on Irritable Dad Syndrome.
And everything goes quiet and it goes, you know what I'm talking about? So the worm has this thing, goes like, it like roars, but it's like a, you know, it doesn't go, it's like a, you know, it's like kind of like a, it's got a thing to it, you know?
And it so what is, you're saying, you, it's just me.
Yeah, you need to, it's like beeper, but with more bass to it. Murmur. It's murr.
Winston Churchill once said, "The eyes are the windows of your face."
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome, made with all natural ingredients. Here are your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hi, I'm Darren.
I'm Mike.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome, Cincinnati's comedy podcast. This is episode 197.
Fun is what is on the menu tonight, Today, or this afternoon, whenever you happen to be listening to it.
Check local listings.
If you're at work, you get bonus points.
Oh, yeah.
If your boss comes in, have him listen too, or her.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. We don't judge.
Yeah.
And I know my boss is a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming.
All right.
This has been episode 196.
Go to our website.
Yeah. Bye. On this episode, Darren's going to talk about...
I finally saw Dune 2.
Dune Part 2. Mm-hmm.
Mike.
Yeah.
And got some things to say about that.
Okay.
And I want to have Ryan Gosling on the show.
Yeah, I do too.
That is my top priority. To get Ryan Gosling on this show.
He's never going to come on this show.
I don't care.
I'm
not going to stop wanting him to come on the show.
I ranted on the Facebooks today about Kia. I'm done with Kia. I'm tired of Kia. I don't even want to say Kia. When I go out to the driveway and get in my Kia, I'm sad. And I stay sad the entire time I'm driving it until I get out.
Yeah.
And then I'm happy.
Yeah. So before we start with all the funny, I wanted to mention, you remember a while back when I went to New York?
Yes.
And I went to Rupert G's going away party. It was at the Ed Sullivan Theater, and I met 3/4 of the people who worked for David Letterman on The Late Show.
Yes.
One of the people I met was Jerry Foley. Jerry was the director of The Late Show. He directed from 1995 until Letterman retired in 2015. He took over after Hal Gurney retired.
Okay.
So I'm standing there. And I am with all the people that, you know, the writers, and then there's Mujibur and Sergil and Rupert and the editors, and then there's stagehands, and I'm just beside myself. And then I overhear, hey, Jerry Foley's here. And I'm like, holy crap, the director? And they're like, yeah, standing right there. I didn't see he'd walked in. So I went over and I said hi. Now, I've said before that I felt like I really shouldn't have been at that party. Granted, everyone was very welcoming and kind. And there was a couple people who were like, when did you work here? And they were just confused. But I'm talking to Jerry, and I asked him, this is my chance. I may never get to talk to this guy again. And I asked him what it was like being the director when Dave would always say, roll it, Hal, whenever he would set up a clip. Hal Gurney was the director on, you know, late night, okay? And then for the first few years, he was on CBS. So when Jerry takes over, and then Letterman won't stop calling him Hal. I asked him, I said, did that ever bother you? And he smiles, and he says, absolutely not. Dave was great, and he's always funny. And, you know, I worked side by side with Hal Gurney for all those years. Wonderful man, wonderful director. And so for someone to say a joke like that, roll with Hal, and associate me with Hal, he says, it was just, it was a pleasure. And I never took it, you know, ill. And so anyway, I was like, oh my God. So I'd always wanted to ask him that. So I talked to him at the party for a little bit after it was over with. It was, we were standing underneath the marquee of the Ed Sullivan Theater. There's me, Mike Chisholm, host of the Letterman podcast, good friend of ours, good friend of the show.
Yes.
Mike McEntee was there, writer Steve Young, and Jerry Foley.
Okay.
This is after the party. Everyone left. I swear to God, we stood under the marquee, had to have stood there for like an hour talking about this, that, and everything else.
Yeah.
And then he and Steve Young walked off into the sunset. And Mike Chisholm and I were talking about this. And that may have been Jerry Foley's last time at the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my God. And he was so nice.
Yeah.
And he was such an amazing director. And he passed away at age 68. And to all his family, and to, to his family and to the people who work at the Late Show, my condolences. Because just in the short time that I met him and got to know him, I was like, these people must have loved working with him.
Yeah.
And everyone I've talked to who knew him, they have said that. He was a great guy. And to pass away at 68, I just felt horrible. But I was honored that I got to meet him in the time that he was here. So rest in peace, Jerry Foley. Yeah. What a great guy. Another person who passed away.
Okay.
Eric Carmen.
Eric Cartman?
Eric Carmen.
Carmen.
Not Eric Cartman.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Eric Carmen.
Okay.
So Eric Carmen was the lead singer of the group The Raspberries. Go All the Way. Okay. It was on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Okay.
Okay. When you watch Guardians of the Galaxy, number one, you will hear a song by The Raspberries.
Okay.
He also wrote and recorded the song All By Myself.
All by my,
That's him. That was Eric Carmen. And then in the 80s, you couldn't get away with him because he had the song Hungry Eyes, which was on the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite song by Eric Carmen was Make Me Lose Control.
It's now, not Kyle's Mom is a Big Fat Bitch.
No, right. That's a different Eric. Okay, that's not the same guy.
Okay. All right.
I keep telling you that.
That's my favorite one.
In college, I did radio. I worked at WETS radio station in college. And our station, you could only hear on the TVs in the dorms.
Wow.
We were very, 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 very low frequency, right?
Yeah.
You had to turn on your cable box in your TV to listen to WETS radio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They sent us like 20 best of Eric Carmen albums for us to give away, right? We couldn't
give them away.
No, we couldn't. But now, in defense of Mr. Carmen, rest in peace, we could have had Springsteen tickets, and nobody listened to ours. So it wasn't him. But every day, we're like, if you're the fifth caller, you win. Okay, if you're any caller,
if you
want all of them,
If we hear a noise, whoever made the noise wins.
We opened up the window and yelled out into the parking lot behind us. If you want an Eric Carmen Greatest Hits album, come up. And we couldn't give them away.
So I got.
And I think I think the problem was, I think the reason why they gave us all these albums was one of his big hits was missing off of the album, and I think it was Hungry Eyes.
Okay,
it was either Hungry Eyes or All By Myself.
Okay,
one of the two was not on there.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it was a dud or what, but they gave us all these albums that we couldn't get rid of. Now, this reminds me, one of my favorite jokes of all time was written by Stump Woodley, one of the big fans.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he's a big fan of our show.
Stump, is that Stump short for Stumpy?
Yeah, it is. It's short for Stumpy.
Or Stumparella.
So,
I don't want to assume gender.
He wrote this joke years ago, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, and he said, look, if you don't want me dirty dancing in your pharmacy, then stop playing Hungry Eyes over the PA system.
Waka, waka, waka.
One of the funniest damn jokes I've ever heard. But yeah, rest in peace, Eric Carmen.
So as you've been talking, like 15 stories have popped up in my head, and then they're dying off as I'm thinking about them. But you reminded me of one when we were talking about you couldn't give away this album. So back in high school, or you couldn't give away the, well, it was the album, right?
Yeah, we had 20 albums.
So back in high school, me and my friend Missy, who like where my house was, my mom's backyard met up with Missy's mom's backyard. So she was like literally, I think the first person I met when our family moved to Proctor, Vegas.
Okay.
The metropolis.
Proctorville, Ohio.
The bustling metropolis.
It's right next to West Proctor, Virginia, Vegas. Right?
So one night.
People in West Virginia love this podcast.
Yeah. One night we decided to, there's not a lot to do in Proctorville.
Mm-hmm.
And Proctorville is right next to Huntington. There's not a lot to do in Huntington. We decided to drive around to every fast food place and see how many waters we could get for free. So we would go through the drive-thru.
That's all of them.
We would order a couple of, you know, waters. You don't want anything? No. And no charge. We went to McDonald's. Both McDonald's. There was a McDonald's on east side, west side.
You guys had two McDonald's?
Multiple Wendy's.
Wow.
Went Taco Bell. When we got to Taco Bell, I forgot how many we'd been through, but we had multiple cases of waters. And I forget who was in the passenger seat, but whoever it was had about 20 to 30 waters, like right there.
By the eighth place, you're like, can I have a water and can I use your bathroom?
They're saying... They were giving us our water at Taco Bell, and they're like, my God, what are you doing? And we laughed and we told them. So then they gave us some tacos. They gave us some free tacos because they thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
And then we ran out of places to go.
Uh-huh.
So we decided to go, as you would, to the local radio station. And we buzzed the thing. We had all the waters with us. I mean, we were both like completely armed full.
Yeah.
They were on the air. The guard let us in and said in a nice way, "What the hell is this?" And we explained what we'd been doing. And we wanted to know if they would play requests for us.
Right.
And so they let us into
in exchange for in water. There,
yeah. in for the waters for what we did. And so we told them what we did. They thought it was hilarious. They played a U2 song for me. And
of course they did.
I think Missy requested, and she's going to kill me if I get to, I think it was a Tom Petty song. I think she requested a Tom Petty. I think I requested U2. And they gave us, here's where it kind of matches up with your story. They gave us t-shirts.
Okay.
For Epicureans, which was a club that was supposed to be opening
in
Huntington. Okay. It was called Epicureans, which is a bird, and it had like a tuxedo on.
Right.
I hope I still have it somewhere
in this
house.
You sure it wasn't a penguin?
Is it a penguin?
It has the tuxedo?
No. This is a, it's a non-
these are penguin jokes,
this
people.
This is a non-Arctic joke. Anyway,
penguins are Antarctic.
So,
God, Mike, know your geography.
Now that shirt means a lot to me because of what we went through to get it. And there's like, that's the shirt that's the story behind that shirt.
Okay.
At the time, I was like, oh my God, we got a t-shirt. We got a whole t-shirt. All we did was ask for free water.
Uh-huh.
They gave us some tacos.
Yeah.
We got free tacos, and now we have a garment, a t-shirt.
The simple things.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
but now that I look back on it, I'm like, they probably literally couldn't give those away. And they were probably thinking, oh, thank God. Somebody's here that we can give them a t-shirt. Look, the guy especially, it looks like he would love to have a t-shirt. And I did. I did love to have that t-shirt.
When I lived in Johnson City.
Uh-huh.
Me and my buddy Nathan Gwynn and a few other friends were driving around bored, and we drove to WQUT. And we went, let's see. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We didn't have any water, but we're like, let's see if we can get in. So the DJ at the time, Jeffrey Allen Payne, good guy, rang the buzzer. He's like, can I help you guys? We said, we wanted to come by and say hi and see if we could get on the radio. He's, come on in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, we got some friends here and, you know, introduced us. So we played a couple songs and we're like, so this is the,
it's
like a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get on the radio if you want.
Yeah.
And then like a few years later, we would, we were out Christmas caroling. We went by WQT and got to sing Christmas carols on the radio. But now my buddy, Steve Mann, who used to work at WQT. He's now, I believe, at WJCW, maybe at a different station. But he used to bring me in the mornings, and I would do Bobcat Goldthwait and my Ed Grimley character.
Give me a break. I couldn't be more excited, I must say. This anticipation, it's making me mental.
I'm in a group.
And I are former radio stars.
That's right.
And we've been on Married with Microphones.
That's right. And Dayton Public TV.
Right.
Right after the guy that talks about tornadoes or something? Whatever.
I can't remember what show we followed.
You're listening to Irritable Dad Syndrome, Cincinnati's comedy podcast.
That is without question the funniest story I've ever heard.
We don't want controversy. We don't want a Tool situation or a West Virginia situation.
People are still favoriting the Tool video. I had a new person favorite it today. It's the most favorited video. So as much as it caused all this problem with the Tool community, they love it.
Yeah.
You saw Dune. I want to talk about Dune.
Okay. So we went to see Dune 2.
Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
Paul Dune and his mamaw.
Paul Dune and his mamaw.
Yeah.
And it's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
It's an excellent movie. It's
very long.
Yeah, it's a pretty long movie.
And I'm not complaining about it because I don't mind long movies. Like, I'd love Dances with the Wolves. I loved Avengers Endgame.
Did you manage your urine?
I did.
Okay.
I
did you make it all the way through without missing? Okay.
I did. I got lost in a couple places.
Okay.
My 15-year-old had to explain couple situations.
Is it because Paul Dune put the thing on his head and he looked like everybody else and you didn't know who he was?
Well, all of a sudden, if you haven't seen Dune part two, there's a spoiler here. It's like, wait, Baron. Wait, what? Because that just came out of, for me, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of things in that movie come out of nowhere because there's so many things going on.
Yeah.
And I get confused and then I lose track.
Yeah.
And then after the movie, Libby's like, yeah, Darren, they mentioned that when the Sarkonians were talking to the flip flops and when in the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had mentioned something about Paul Dune hallucinated because
he
hallucinated because of the spice.
The icy
a
drink.
Lot of the spice got in there and he started hallucinating.
Yeah.
And she told me I was wrong, that the spice did not cause him to hallucinate.
Yeah.
To which I said, no. He did hallucinate because of the spice.
Uh-huh.
And we had a little bit of a tiff.
Did you get
I had to have a talk with her in the parking lot.
Did she get violent?
No.
No, she didn't.
She did not hit me again.
Yeah.
No, I ran.
Yeah.
So, good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to disagree with you on something.
Okay.
I chose not to see it in a IMAX theater. And it was still, it was still loud.
I mean, I've watched movies on planes before. Okay. It's still awesome.
Well, I didn't watch it in a plane, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. I love how you so overcorrect. Well, if you want to sit at the bottom of a ditch and watch a movie, that's fine. I don't care. Yeah, you can watch it. You know, you can watch it on your
viewfinder.
And your viewfinder. Yeah, my God, you are a movie snob.
I have to go see it. You got to go see it on the biggest possible screen.
We didn't see it at an IMAX theater.
I complained that it wasn't. It's a LIMAX.
It was
it's not
still
a true
loud,
IMAX.
As the kids say. It was loud AF.
Then when the worm, dude,
yeah,
did you pee a little bit when that happened? I thought it was so awesome.
But here's my thing.
Okay.
We went to the movie theater on Union Center. Okay.
Which one?
The AMC.
AMC. Okay.
AMC
okay,
and
okay.
Union Center Boulevard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was for the four of us, $44 to see the movie in a regular screen.
Okay.
Okay. And then I redeemed I cashed in some of my stub dollars on the popcorn.
Okay.
Right. And then we snuck into the drinks.
Okay.
Okay. So whatever. $44 to see that.
Uh-huh.
The next day, Cameron wanted to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
We went to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Oh.
Kung Fu Panda. Did I say Kung Fu Panda?
Kung.
Everybody was Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu, yeah.
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Uh-huh.
And we went to our theater, the AMC 8 in Hamilton. Okay?
Okay.
Four tickets, same time, $19 was the regular price.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going to the cheaper theater.
Yeah.
I don't care that the seats recline or not recline. I don't care.
But when the worm...
And the sound is because we saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 at that theater. We've seen a lot of
movies. I was
there
with you guys when you saw that.
I'm going to keep going there. I don't want to spend twice the amount to go see a movie that, honest to God, is going to be on my streaming service in 3 weeks, I bet.
It's probably there now.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Funny thing about going to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
We get in there. You buy your popcorn and your tickets at the same place.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm buying all that stuff. The boys used the bathroom, and then Libby went, and she was using the bathroom. We got there right when it was starting. So I said, I will go. And I popped my head into the bathroom, and I yelled, guys, we're in theater 6. Okay, Dad.
Yeah.
And then find your mom, tell her we're in theater 6. So I go into theater 6. I get four seats and I put, Cameron's drink in his chair, Jacob's drink in his chair, Libby's drink in her chair, and my coat.
Did you sit them together or did you put them all over the theater?
There have been times.
I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah. Your seat's
No. You are not sitting next to Daddy. So I'm sitting there and the first trailer comes on.
Uh-huh.
And, okay. Yeah. And then the second trailer comes on. Then the third one. And I'm like, where is everybody?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, are they redecorating the bathroom?
Yeah.
Did somebody fall in?
Uh-huh.
The fourth trailer comes in. And then I hear Jacob say, oh, yeah, that guy's funny. I look up and I turned around. There are two rows behind me. They are seated two rows.
Okay.
One.
Yeah.
Is some guy I don't know.
Yeah.
And then behind him is my wife and my 19-year-old son and my 15-year-old son. They couldn't find me. And I stand up and I stand up.
Yeah.
Did I mention that I stood up?
You stood up.
I stand up and I look at them and I said, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And they said, we didn't see you. And I'm like,
it's a likely story.
I'm like, how?
They totally saw you.
I'm like, do you guys not want me at the theater? I bought the tickets. Yeah. I'm like, so I get up, I grab my jacket, I grab one drink, two drink, three drink. Oh, and I had the popcorn, by the way.
Okay.
I'm grabbing all this stuff, and then I move two rows back.
Yeah.
And it's like, how hard did you guys look for me?
Yeah.
We didn't see you. Like, okay, you keep saying you didn't see me.
Yeah, but did you look?
But did you? Yeah. I mean, could you have walked, like, I don't know, two rows further down, looked to the right, looked to the left? I'm the only person in the theater wearing a hat. I mean,
was it a packed theater? Were there a lot of people in there? Okay.
No.
Yeah.
All no, right. There's maybe 20 people in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just didn't want to sit with you.
There was
nobody
in front of me.
They did not want to sit with you.
I was wearing something bright.
They wanted to keep you in view in case you moved.
They didn't want to be at the movie with me.
So how was Kung Fu Panda 4?
Wait for it on streamer. It was okay.
I've never seen any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2, we have watched them so many times.
Yeah.
They are endlessly entertaining.
Okay.
Jack Black is amazing as Po, the Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
And the Furious 5, you got Tigress, the tiger. Mantis is the praying mantis.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you have Monkey.
Yeah, he's a monkey.
He's a monkey. Jackie Chan does the voice of Monkey.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's Crane. David Cross is the voice of Crane.
Uh-huh.
And there's one other one.
Okay.
I can't remember who the other one is.
Right.
But they're incredible. Dustin Hoffman is Master Shifu.
Okay.
Forget about it. They're hysterically funny.
I'm punching here. Yeah. You know that thing.
Exactly. But the first two are great. The third one...
Okay.
And then this one. Okay. Did you see Shang-Chi and the Rings?
Yeah. That's about when Marvel kind of stepped off for me.
I liked that movie. Yeah.
I liked it too.
I did like it. But yes, but that was the time when Marvel started losing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Awkwafina.
They got to the point where they're like, we can do anything.
Yeah.
We could put anything up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people have noticed that and stopped. They have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Awkwafina is the chick in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Eight Rings or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And now she's in everything. And I don't dislike her.
Okay.
I don't. But she plays the fox
in
this movie. The Furious Five are not in Kung Fu Panda 4.
Okay.
And I didn't want to see Kung Fu Panda 4 because I'm like, why are the Furious Five not in there?
Yeah.
Everybody else wanted to go.
Okay.
So I had what's called the Barbie syndrome. Everybody wanted to see Barbie.
Okay.
I went to see Barbie. Granted, I liked Barbie.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was more about Aqua. Like, there was so much Awkwafina in it, and I wanted to see Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my review.
Okay.
You can wait on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Irritable Dad Syndrome? Then show your support by wearing a stylish Irritable Dad Syndrome t-shirt. Our shirts are designed with three of our most famous, hilarious catchphrases. You need to learn more words? Put the thing on the thing? And in my defense, I thought it was funny. They come in a variety of sizes and colors. If you're a guy, women will see this shirt and instantly want to go out with you. So be the envy of all your friends and buy one today. Irritable Dad Syndrome t-shirts, available now at irritabledadsyndrome.com.
Speaking of Barbie, Ryan Gosling,
yes.
If you are listening, God, please, I want you to be a guest on this show. I want to talk to you so bad. Did you watch the Academy Awards?
No, I haven't watched them for like 20 years.
I always,
but I watched the highlight. I saw the highlights thing.
I always watch them, and some years have been worse.
Uh-huh.
Some years have been really, really bad.
Yeah.
This year was a really good year. Very entertaining. I agreed with pretty much everything that won, for the most part. I wanted Paul Giamatti to win. I love Paul Giamatti. Ryan Gosling sings the I Am Ken song from Barbie.
Yes.
And we heard that he was going to be performing. And I'm like, well, okay. I wonder how this is going to go. He killed it. Absolutely killed it. Highlight of the night. Hysterically funny. Here's Ryan Gosling, one of the sexiest men alive to ever walk the planet, in this all pink shirt and pants, and out there jamming with Slash and Mark Ronson.
Well, one of my favorite parts is when it starts, He's in front of Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
And they can't keep it together. They're already laughing.
Right.
Right as he's starting before anything even. And the lady behind him is laughing herself silly.
Yeah.
He cracks up a few times. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Oh, my God. Michael Keaton. You son of a bitch. Yeah, he threw me out a window.
Yeah.
And he's right there.
Yeah.
You got a lot of nerve.
Yeah.
You know?
I had to watch Robert Downey Jr. So mm-hmm. I got a question. What do you think about the controversy? Have you heard the controversy about Robert Downey Jr.?
What was the controversy?
He apparently did not shake the hand or hug the guy from Indiana Jones.
Kiwi Kwan.
Yeah. So he actually actually gave him the award.
Uh-huh.
And he blew right past him. So I noticed it. Like when I watched the video, I noticed it. And mm-hmm. then today, there's all these articles. You know how the internet is right now. It's Robert Downey Jr.
Disrespectful.
You know, and put a hit out on Ke-Hee Kwan. And you just, I'm like, and so at the time when I was watching it live, so I want to give everyone my viewpoint because I remember the specific. I remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, he just kind of blew past him. But I'm like, he just won his first Oscar.
Yeah. He was nominated twice before.
Yeah.
Like 25 years ago or whatever was his first one.
By the way, finally
got his due.
By the way, if you're boomers like me and Darren, mm-hmm. Back in the day, Robert Downey Jr. like rose to stardom mm-hmm. and then went to jail and everything. Yes. It was like, wait, where's the guy from Air America? Mm-hmm. I thought Air America was awesome.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's like in an art film, you know, years later, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, that guy's back. And then he's like a rocket, rock star.
He's a rocket scientist. He's a rocket surgeon.
Literally, he came back playing a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
But I can see somebody like that, just like their mind's buzzing.
Yeah.
You're not going like, to see everybody.
You win an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Get up. In front of – now, he shouldn't be, you know, nervous about speaking to millions of people.
I think it's a different thing.
You win your Academy Award and tell me how cool you are when you go to accept. Now, I will have to check the tape,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't record it
because
I ain't got no VCR no more. Yeah. I do, but it's in the basement in a box.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure when he walked off stage with the five presenters – he was hugging on Ke-Hee Kwan.
Well, people are saying that his publicist spoke in his ear and told him that he needs to hug him because he snubbed him.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is that there was that controversy.
There was – I remember when what's her face? Emma Stone.
Uh-huh.
When she won, Sally Field was like kind of pulling on Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I want to talk to her. Yeah. So it's like, what are you doing?
So, yes. When I think back of like any of these type of award shows, or I like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I love those inductions
and
those things.
There are two, I think, perfect award acceptance and award giving speeches.
Mm-hmm.
One is David Letterman inducting Pearl Jam into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That was perfect. And I'll say a close second, and I know that I'm biased, was Springsteen inducting U2
mm-hmm.
and then also U2 inducting Springsteen.
Now, I would have had somebody else induct Springsteen.
They've been tied at the hip all
their career. I understand that.
Yeah.
And when U2 got in, I thought that Peter Gabriel or someone more along the lines of, you know, who came up in that AOR, album-oriented rock, at the same time that U2 did.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no problem. Springsteen killed it.
Yeah.
Springsteen
and U2 love each other.
They do.
From the earliest days forward.
Well, the only time Bono was out sick after his bicycle accident, Springsteen stood in for him.
And the other is when Will Ferrell, I forget which award he won. I think it was the John F. Kennedy. It wasn't the John F. Kennedy. It was the
Mark Twain Award.
Where he was talking to his wife. He said, you get a little lippy.
Yeah.
And then, this is my time. This is my time now.
Yes.
This is not your time.
Yes.
Those two. All the rest of them pale. And so
mm-hmm.
I barely noticed Robert Downey Jr. doing that. I've got grace for the man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I can say, look at the full body of work and everything that he does and how he presents himself. I don't think he's that type of person. There, mm-hmm. There was a similar one when Rush was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I got mad when Rush got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So Alex Lifeson.
Alex Lifeson goes to the blah, 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 blah.
So, yeah.
And he did it for so long, Peart started looking at him like, really?
So he thought it was going to be hilarious.
Uh-huh.
And he thought as he was doing it, people were thinking it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Getty and Peart were pissed. that he was doing that.
Yeah, this is
his
your
family,
shot.
His family was pissed. And then later, it's kind of split. Like, some people love it, some people think it's stupid.
Yeah.
But you never know how things are going to be accepted. So there are some people, when they win awards, I'm like, ugh, this is going to be a snooze fest. I hate to say it. I love this actor, but I don't want to hear him give an acceptance speech. Sean Penn. I don't want to hear it. I just don't want, it's not a political, it's not anti, it's just, I don't want it. You're going to be super serious about something.
Right.
And there's some people I'm good with being super serious. Eddie Vedder, be super, you do your thing, man.
Right.
Because he can inject some humor into it. But if you're completely humorless, like Sean Penn usually is, I don't have time for it. There's a bunch of them like that. But, you know, gifts, sometimes people want to shake it up a bit. Mm-hmm. Let him just.
I noticed that Robert Downey Jr. did not thank Christopher Nolan. And he probably, and that's like, I watched it again. I'm pretty sure he didn't. He thanked Emma.
He thanked his poor childhood, which I thought was, or something. I forget what it was like that. But yeah.
Now, I remember the, what's his face? The drummer, the teacher on Whiplash. I can't remember his name. He won Best Supporting Actor for Whiplash.
I'm thinking Howard Hessman with
Howard Hessman. The dude who played the teacher on Whiplash won the Best Supporting Actor Academy Award, and he got up there and thanked his agent, this family, whatever, and he said, call your mother. If she's still with you, give her a call. Don't text her. Give her a call. tell her that you love her. And then I think Steven Spielberg once thanked teachers. He says, thank your teachers. No, it was George Lucas who was thankful for teachers. So I'm like, you know what? You have an opportunity to say something, make it stick, okay?
Yeah.
You know, rehearse your speech. If you know you're not going to win, rehearse your speech.
Yeah.
Have something to say.
Yeah.
Take this opportunity and be as graceful, because Tom Hanks is probably the best at accepting those speeches.
I think eventually they're going to give Ryan Reynolds an award just to see what he does. If I were on any of those committees, I'd be like, just give it to him. I got to see what he does.
You know what? They're going to have to give an Academy Award to Bradley Cooper. That guy has been nominated, I think, 12 times.
He doesn't have one.
He's been nominated for actor, supporting actor, screenwriter, and director.
Okay,
and producer.
So you know all this stuff. Does Brad Pitt have
an
award?
Yeah.
Does he?
Brad
for
Pitt,
7 years in Tibet?
No. Brad Pitt won Best Supporting Act.
Ocean's 11?
Can I talk? Brad Pitt won Best Supporting Actor for the Hollywood...
Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood.
All right. And so DiCaprio have one?
DiCaprio does have one for The Revenant. Yeah, okay. He won Best Actor for The Revenant.
Yeah, he got ate by a bear for that.
Yeah. And Brad Pitt won for... He was one of the producers on 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
So when that won Best
Picture... What about
Picture,
Clooney? Is Clooney?
George Clooney, he has two Academy Awards.
Really?
Best Supporting Actor, and he was one of the producers on Argo. With Pretty Boy Ben Affleck.
Here's one. Did Tom Cruise ever get anything?
Tom Cruise has never won an Academy Award. He's been nominated a few times, three times. Give me some more.
I know Tom Hanks has.
Tom Hanks won two back-to-back. Philadelphia and then Forrest.
Let me go through all my favorites here. Has Keanu Reeves? Keanu Reeves has
Keanu
one,
Reeves has
he?
Never been nominated.
He should have one for his beard.
No. He's got the worst beard in
the
world.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Who else?
You hear that, Mike? That's people turning off our podcast.
And Matt Damon.
Matt Damon has one, yes.
For The Martian?
No, he wrote the screenplay for Good Will Hunting.
Robin
Williams has a Best Supporting Actor win for Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
Meryl Streep, she has three.
Her name annoys me.
Robert De Niro has two Academy Awards.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino won for Scent of a Woman.
Hoo-ah! Ha! Charlie, I'm just getting warmed up. But he's not a snitch.
Oh, what a Scorsese. Scorsese's got to have.
Yeah, he finally won one for The Departed.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Goodfellas?
Not Goodfellas. Nope. Pretty Boy Kevin Costner won Best Director and then Best Picture for Dances with Wolves.
What about James Cameron?
James Cameron won for Titanic. He won three Academy Awards that year for Titanic.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson won three for Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
George Lucas.
George Lucas has never won an Academy Award. They gave him an honorary award.
What about David Lynch?
No, David Lynch has not won an Academy
Award.
People don't care.
No, we've lost so many viewers. This is the best podcast. It's just two boomers. One's like, has this guy ever won? No. You know, Google exists, you old farts.
This portion of our show is brought to you by Whopper's All Beef Footlong Hot Dogs, voted best hot dog for the 7th year in a row by the National Hot Dog and Sausage Association. Hi, I'm Dave Lay. Whoppers are made from 100% pure beef with no fillers and no preservatives. Get a ruler and measure it yourself. If your hot dog isn't a foot long, they'll refund your money, guaranteed. Mmm, Whoppers. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, you left the music on again.
It's time now for the Kroger Story of the Week.
I went to Kroger the other day, and I'm walking
Kroger up, grocery stores.
Kroger grocery store. I'm walking up and down the aisle, and there's a woman there, and she's got her daughter with her, and she said, "Don't forget, I need to get the Roman noodles."
The Roman noodles. Okay.
I started laughing so hard, and I had to act like I was laughing at something that I saw, and I picked up my phone, and I was like looking at a blank phone, because I didn't want her to think that I'm laughing at her.
I can't count the number of times I've started laughing in the bean and noodle aisle.
This has been the Kroger Story of the Week.
So I'm going to see KK's Priest.
You were telling me that's
on Saturday.
Judas Priest without Judas.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or the Priest.
Yeah.
It's KK. And okay. The Priest. So their set list is mostly Judas Priest songs.
Mm-hmm.
Neither Judas nor the Priest are in the band.
You got another thing coming.
Yeah, they play that. Mm-hmm. They play the, what's the one?
Breaking the Law.
Yeah,
Breaking the
that Law. That one. They play that one.
I'm your turbo lover.
And then the other one, the one.
Run to the Hills?
Oh, sure.
Wait, that's Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden. Yeah. And then KK Priest has their own tunes.
Okay.
So this is my friend Fanch.
They do Sharp Dressed Man too, right?
Excuse me?
Sharp Dressed Man?
No, that's ZZ Top.
Oh, ZZ Top.
ZZ Top in England is what you say. Anyway, the point is, my whole point of going there is basically to see my friends. I've been growing the old chin, this stuff, because I want to look as menacing as I can.
The old soup strainer.
The old soup strainer, yeah.
As Ned Flanders, Hadley Ho! Guess I'll shave the old soup strainer.
When I eventually shave this, I'm keeping the...
Nice.
I'm going to do one of these.
Do the Fu Manchu?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
I'll come all the way.
Nice.
Yeah. Just leave it like that until somebody notices it.
Libby and I were cooking.
Okay.
And we...
In the kitchen?
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We were...
Say, where in the timeline does
22
the story
years
take
place? Yeah, that's all the cooking we do, Mike.
You're simmering.
That's all we do. So we're in the kitchen, we're cooking, and we're making
Roman noodles.
Orange chicken.
We're making orange chicken.
Okay. So orange chicken is chicken breast that you cut up, and there's onion, pepper, udon noodles, mushrooms. Mushrooms are very important to it, right? And she likes to put it over rice. I like to put it over udon noodles.
Okay.
Okay. But, you know, one's just as good as the other.
Yeah.
So we're making it. This is the second time we've made orange chicken.
Okay.
Now, you know our friends Ann and Dave Wiseman.
Yeah.
We went to their house a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
You weren't feeling good and you didn't go.
Right.
Dave made orange chicken that night. And we're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're going to try making this because Dave made it and it's amazing.
Yeah. And so if Dave can do it, anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Dave's just about as smart as a brick.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, neither does anybody who knows Dave.
So we're making orange chicken. It's good, but it doesn't have a lot of
orange.
Doesn't have a lot of flavor to it. Okay. So I said, I don't think we used enough orange. And Libby's like, yeah, I think you're right. It's still good, but it didn't taste like how Dave made it.
It didn't pop.
It did not. So a week or so later, we made orange chicken again.
Okay.
This time we loaded up on the
orange
orange sauce, and you can buy that on your sauce aisle at Kroger.
You just put the whole
wherever you get your favorite sauce
orange Jello packet in there.
Okay, so it turns out we put a little too much orange.
Okay,
orange in there. I liked it. Uh-huh. Libby liked it, even though it was a little strong.
Uh-huh.
We overcorrected.
Okay,
and the kids are like, "Oh wow, this They were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it down, so to speak. And Libby's like, do you guys not like it? And they're like, we like it. It's just a little strong. And they ended up not finishing their orange chicken.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, you know, guys, and they were kind of looking at us like, why do we come here? You know, this is, you know, it's like, yeah, we come here to be fed. We were talking about making it again, and this time we were going to get it right. And Jacob says, hey, Dad, watch the orange sauce, would you? And you know what I told him?
What? That's
said,
the title of the podcast?
I said, oh, yeah? Why don't you watch the orange sauce?
Oh. I mean,
yeah, and Libby,
fight fire with
Libby
fire.
Looked at me. She goes, yeah, you sure told him. Yeah. Right. But I'm like, really?
Yeah.
98% of the meals we make at our house are, I'm not going to say perfection,
yeah,
but damn close.
Well, let me tell you something.
Especially what Libby cooks. I mean, Libby is a badass in the kitchen.
So occasionally we'll tell each other stories and we'll notice a similarity mm-hmm. between each other.
Yeah.
So I think you guys do what I do, which is when I get it in my head that I'm going to make something new,
right,
I just keep making it until I perfect it, until, yeah, I get it down.
Yeah.
So last year it was ribs.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to learn how to make ribs. I've got a grill.
Yeah.
I'm going to make ribs.
Yeah.
And it was like we had ribs. It was like almost every week. It was to the point where the family was like, are we having the gourmet ribs again? Like, these are better than anything you can get in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were better than anything. But mm-hmm. now it's like we have them all the time. Mm-hmm. I did it with those. I did it with stir fry. I have perfected stir fry.
Yeah.
And I've got a fan. Andrew is a stir fry fan. Bess is a stir fry fan. Charlie, I think the next time I make stir fry, he's going to hit me in the head with the wok.
He's going to run away from home.
Right. I went through a steak phase. It took me years to perfect steak.
Yeah.
I screwed it up last night. It's not like riding a bike. You can't just get back on.
Right.
But yeah, I know when you're telling the story, I'm like, he does what I do. It's like, I'm just going to keep making this over and over.
Yeah.
Pancakes. Mm-hmm. Pancakes took me about 10 years to figure out. And you know what happened through that entire 10 years that I was learning how to make pancakes?
Wait, it took you 10 years to master pancakes?
About 10 years. I make perfect pancakes now. I judge pancakes. When we're out, when we go to the pancake house, I am sitting there in total judgment. Really? I have to pay for this shit.
Uh-huh.
They put this on my plate, yeah, and I have to pay them,
okay,
for that?
Yeah.
They should pay me, yeah, for cleaning it off the plate.
Okay, what restaurant has the best pancakes?
That's a trick question. I personally like Pancake House, but IHOP with the butter mm-hmm. gets me.
I say
the
IHOP.
Absolute best pancakes used to be the International House of Pancakes mm-hmm. when they made the plate size pancakes.
Yeah.
Dude, if they ever opened that thing back up and made those again.
Wait, it's closed?
Yeah.
When did they close IHOP?
When they No, not International House of Pancakes.
That's what IHOP is.
I know. It turned into that. And they went commercial.
Okay.
There used to be the day, they were like Pizza Hut. They had a certain structural look to them. It looks like this big brown building.
Right.
And you go in there and you order like pancakes and they say, do you want two pancakes or do you want three? And it was like, if you said three, it's like, Jesus, you're going to need a wheelbarrow to take these things out of there. And uh-huh. You got like an entire stick of butter.
Yeah.
And no kid ever finished their pancakes. All dads never ordered anything when we went in. My dad never ordered anything. He just waited until I passed out and then he would eat the rest of my food.
Yeah.
They were amazing. And yeah. then they became the IHOP and they mm-hmm. shortened the name and they shrunk the pancake. Yeah. So my pancakes are close in texture and feel to those old school International House pancakes, but I don't make them obnoxiously big,
right?
Because I'm not a psychopath,
right? They're harder to flip when they're that big,
yeah.
And then when you have to have a lot of batter for them to do that, and then they get kind of dry in the middle,
yeah.
And so yeah, I like them smaller,
mm-hmm.
and but my favorite, I love IHOP,
uh-huh.
and then Bob Evans. I'll eat the pancakes at Cracker Barrel. But they're almost like the buckwheat pancakes.
They bother me.
Yeah,
now
they're kind of dry.
So here's what I do.
What do you mean they're kind of dry?
I'm gonna let my secret out. I use the Cracker Barrel pancake mix,
uh-huh.
but I use the recipe on the back of the Bisquick mix.
Oh, okay.
Same mix mm-hmm. or different mix, different recipe.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now. I have a thing when I flip, because I've perfected the pancakes, I know when I've screwed one up.
And well, hold it. If you've perfected it, how are you screwing them up?
Inconceivable.
Your Honor.
Yeah.
I want to dismiss this
witness.
It's
quality control, Darren.
Okay.
They can't all be winners. You set out to make 15, 14 are good, one's a little hinky.
I can't remember the last time I screwed up a pancake. That's all I'm saying.
Accidentally flip it, it rips. And then I say one of two things that are neither are welcome. I either yell out,
uh-huh.
Or
dirty Perkish Harkaback Flatten Barton Philip Bucket Barton Perkaluma Burton.
And there's a pause where I'm like, do I really want to go forward with the full curse? And then the evil takes over, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say.
Well, you know when to flip it, right?
Yeah.
When it starts bubbling.
No. No, you wait a bit. You just you wait a tad. No, if you do it when it quits bubbling, you're not gonna. You gotta.
I didn't say when it quits bubbling.
When it starts bubbling.
After it starts bubbling, it bubbles bloop 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 bloop. By about the fifth bloop, if you're
what mixer are you using?
If you're huh?
What mixer are you using?
The
Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima.
Say, I can't. Those are rubbery.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
You know what you got to do with them, Mike?
What?
You put a little sour cream in them. You put sour cream in the pancake mix, and that makes them really just stupid fluffy.
How much sour cream do you put in?
A dollop. It depends on how many pancakes you're making.
Okay. Like a normal amount.
Like a tablespoon or two tablespoons of sour cream.
All right.
Yeah. Then you whip them all up. Bloop, bloop, bloop. You put, like, Libby can make five at a time on our griddle.
Mm-hmm.
So, or if you're making big ones, you can do three at a time. If you do them relatively small.
I'm going to have to think on this a bit.
You don't have to think about anything.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
Okay.
They are the bomb.
See, my pancakes, I use the Bisquick mix. I got the one egg. I got the milk. I got the baking soda, the sugar, the vegetable. I use olive oil, vanilla.
Oh, this is my... I'm going to have to think about this.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You guys are way too into what we're doing right now. Gen Xers, you remember the Cold War. That's Russia, America, or America, Russia.
Okay, yeah.
We're dancing around. We've had a battle before where you quit.
Well, my wife doesn't know how to cook.
The Cuban pancake crisis.
Yes.
Where shots were fired and you're like.
You're lucky she didn't drive her ass out here.
And I heard about it.
Yeah.
Multiple times. So we're circling that well. I'm not going to say anything about the sour cream because I honestly have never tried it.
So good.
And I do regret questioning someone else's pancakes. I will question the Boy Scouts pancakes because good God. But
yeah.
They're okay, but it's because you've been sleeping on a rock all night and you're hungry for anything.
Let me tell you something else that she does.
Yeah.
So there's a few things that she does. Mm-hmm. Like if there's blueberry pancakes, I've told you if I have blueberry pancakes, I put lemon frosting on it because of what they serve me at the IHOP. Okay.
Can't do it.
Yeah. That's fine. I don't care.
You say tomato. I say tomato.
I say lemon frosting. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And she will take an apple. Mm-hmm. Not a Granny Smith apple.
No, a normal American apple.
Yeah, Golden Delicious.
Yeah.
And dice it up into little chunks and put that into the mix with brown sugar and cinnamon.
That's an apple pie pancake.
That's an apple pancake. Yeah.
Wow.
And with those sons of bitches, you put a little peanut butter on the top.
You got a way to shit on each one of these. You make a blueberry pancake and you need to fuck it up with lemon frosting.
Nope.
You make an apple pancake and then you throw peanut butter on and you that all.
When I worked at Channel 9, there was a guy who worked there named Brian Patrick who talked about putting peanut butter on his pancakes. And everybody looked at him like he was absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it that weekend. Holy, it's so good.
Well, have you put peanut butter and jelly and then another pancake and made a Have you ever tried that?
No, but I will.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to do that this weekend.
Peanut butter jelly pancake.
I'm going to do that this Sunday.
Libby has made, she has taken banana and cut it up and then rolled it into the batter and then fried up. And so you got like pancake dogs, kind of.
Yeah.
And then you put Nutella on those.
What happened?
Nutella on anything is...
I'm going to have to stop buying Nutella, by the way, because my son, Jacob, will eat like half a jar of it in a day.
We buy it in buckets. And Charlie always wants a Nutella sandwich. And it seems like we shouldn't make those for him, but we do.
Stump Woodley, make pancakes with muffin mix. I've heard about doing that. Yeah. My buddy Bill made pancakes with cake mix. He whipped up the cake mix, poured it on, made little cakes.
Really?
Yeah.
Cakes with peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Daddy's got to get to cooking.
Yeah.
With bacon in there?
No, you wouldn't put the bacon in there, but you could eat
the peanut butter and jelly. Have you ever had the bacon donuts at Holtman's?
Uh-uh. No. No, I love bacon and I love eating it with sweets, but I've never put it into the...
They have donuts where they have crumpled bacon.
Remember when Dairy Queen had the bacon sundae?
No.
Sprinkled bacon on top of your ice cream? It didn't last.
I'm a member of a group, and I forget the name of the group, but basically what they do is they take photographs and they misappropriate them.
Okay.
You know, so it'll have one that I saw recently had a picture of Mo and the other guy from the Three Stooges, not Curly.
Larry.
Mo and Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom.
Simon and Garfunkel.
It says Simon and Garfunkel on this day they released their day. I think that stuff is hilarious.
I know.
So there was one they posted the other day. It was a picture of Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bono.
So I posted it. And I get the normal laughs, but then one of my friends was like, that's Bobcat Goldthwait, like completely serious. And my favorite piece of that is that Mr. Hughes, Mr. Huggies, gave the surprise emoji to that, like, really?
Yeah, I love, absolutely love when I do something just as stupid as stupid can be, and then someone explains to me what Darren, that's not really Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, I knew that that was Mo and Larry, and I commented my favorite song was like the Do Run Run, which was not a song. It's hilarious when people don't get the joke. Guys, we're out of time. We're going to wrap this episode up. We want to thank you. You know what? If you were a patron, you could hear all the stuff that I edited out of this episode.
You got your money's worth.
Because there's going to be bonus features galore. Sweet. By the way, the episode we recorded last week, about the broken carrot, bent carrot thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, the outtakes for that.
No.
They are on our website, irritabledad.com.
That's how you get it.
Outtakes galore.
Yeah.
And
you got to go to the patron. You got a Patreon.
Got to go to there.
Jump over there.
That's what you got to do. We're going to go. We hope to see you next week on Irritable Dad Syndrome. Bye, everybody.
Yep.
Irritable Dad Syndrome is a Quinn Martin production. Copyright 1972.
Leave it in there.
No, I'm going to take it
out. Nah, I made it weird.
I'm going to take it out.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. Super Dave Osborne has never won an Academy Award.
Did I have a conversation with you recently about Hills?
Hills is where the toys are. Yeah.
You remember Burger Chef?
Okay. You know what you ought to do? A movie about you and a dolphin.
What are Roman noodles when you heat them up to this, like, fireball shoot out of the...
I just want to blow the whistle and say, traveling.
Yeah.
One time. Because that's the only thing I know about basketball. Yeah. Do you like me enough to give me one of your peeps? I'm going to say you won't.
You ever thought about doing comedy?
People ask me that all the time.
Before we go, you may have noticed that the guys teased a story at the beginning of the show that they didn't talk about. We're sorry about that, and we'll try to get around to it next week. Don't try to sue us. Ha ha ha. Our lawyer will destroy you in court.